Now we want to read us a passage from the 18th chapter of Matthew. I'll begin reading with the 15th verse. Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's reading from verse 15, continuing through verse 20 of the 18th chapter of Matthew. I'd like to open my remarks this morning with a reference to Brother Francisco, Papa Francisco, down in California. What I heard him say at one time when there was a case up to be considered, he said, both sides have something to do. Well, I listened for what he was going to say. I didn't know all about the case and thought maybe there were faults on both sides is what he meant. Both sides had something to do, but he went ahead and explained. He said, one party needs to ask forgiveness here. The other party needs to forgive. Well, I thought that's true in any case where there needs to be a reconciliation between two individuals. One party needs to ask forgiveness and the other party needs to forgive, and I'll dare say, at least this is my viewpoint, that the one that does the forgiving is going to have the biggest job and play the biggest part in the reconciliation. In other words, I believe it takes more humility and more grace and more power from God to actually, graciously, genuinely forgive than it does to ask forgiveness for an offense that we may have committed. In order to forgive, one must die to his own feelings and renounce them, and renounce his rights, or what he thinks is his rights, and bear his cross Now, this is the way God did it. We read in Ephesians 2:16 that He made peace through His cross. And we also read in Colossians 1:20 that He made peace through the blood of His cross. We're deep in the center now, in the middle of a series of lessons on God's doctrines of reconciliation. And God saw that man was in a hopeless state and condition and no way for him to help himself, so He said, I'm going to make a way for him to be helped. That's the first basic principle of God's doctrine of reconciliation, is that He took the first step in it. He was the offended party. Man was the offender, but God took the first step. Because there was no step that man could take. There was no means of contact or no means of approach. God says, I'm going to make a way of approach so he can get to me. I want that man. I want fellowship with him. I want to be reconciled with him. I'm not willing for this thing to continue on with this breach between me and that man. I'm going to make a way for him to get to me. And he made that way by sending his son to die on a cross. And when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commended his love toward us that way and convinced us, I want you. I'm going to give my son now to die to make a way for you to get to me. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Now that's the way God did it, and that's the way that he wants us to do it. And that's the only way to do it, really, is by some cross-bearing, some dying out, some humbling down, some renouncing of our rights and our feelings, dying out to them, and just letting our brother that's offended us know, I don't like this. I don't like this breach between you and me, and I want you. God effected a way of salvation for you and me because He wanted us and convinced us that He wanted us. And if we ever have a right kind of a reconciliation between two warring parties, there's going to have to be a desire for it, a disposition for it. And the wrong party, in the biggest majority of the cases, is going to have to take the first step in it and open the way for that offending party to get to them. Now going on. Last Sunday we discussed the thought from the 5th chapter of Matthew. If you bring your gift to the altar and remember that your brother hath ought against you, leave your gift, go be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. In a religion based on love and sacrifice, it does not accept at its altars any unkind and uncharitable hearts. We cannot come to Him in that way. He will not accept our offering. Now, today, the shoe is on the other foot. This is the other side of the ledger. We're looking from a different viewpoint this morning. We can readily grasp the thought, if I've done something wrong to an individual, I ought to go to him and straighten that out. I ought to confess that. I ought to humble my heart and ask his forgiveness. That isn't hard for us to grasp, is it? But now in this case, he said, if thy brother trespass against you, go to him. Uh-oh, I didn't know it was that way. I could accept that if I'd trespassed against him, I go to him. But I didn't know it was this way now. If he trespassed against me, I go to him. That's what he said. Listen, folks. God asks us the question in his word, why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? God does not permit you and me to look on one another with the least degree of downgrade or contempt one for another. We are to esteem one another. The scripture says, let us consider one another. And we must have a disposition of heart to consider one another. If thy brother trespass against thee, go to him. You go, oh, I went when I trespassed against him. Now he's supposed to come to me. No, God says you go to him. You go to him if you trespassed against him. You go to him if he trespassed against you. What God wants out of you and me is a people that are right. Right in our attitudes. Right in our feelings. Right in our dispositions. Right in our consideration one of another. He wants people like that. People that are right all the time. And how much I pray for you and me, myself and my brother, that God will give us victory in our attitudes, victory in our feelings, victory in our dispositions, just victory, victory in our souls, victory all along the line. God wants you and me to live victorious lives, to live triumphantly, above our problems in life. Problems with life or problems with our fellows. To rise above those things and behave ourselves like Christians should. Now he said, if your brother trespass against thee, you see, this is clear outside of our thinking. We just don't think this way. But this is the way God thinks. And he said his thoughts are not ours. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are his thoughts above our thoughts. And we just don't think this way. But this is the way God's instructing us in his word. If thy brother trespass against thee, go to him and tell him his fault between you and him alone. The idea is to isolate it. Things that create schisms work like a contagion. And they will spread from one to another. It's just a contagious thing. That's the natural trend of it, the natural way for it to go. But God says, isolate it. Don't let it spread. We have some diseases that are highly contagious. And when the hospital receives a patient that has one of those types of diseases, they have an isolation ward. They put them right in. They don't want everybody exposed to what they have. God doesn't want the other members of the church exposed to any difference that might stand between you and another brother in the church. He says, tell him his fault between you and him alone. If others know about it, they'll be affected by it. In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, in verse 15, he says, looking diligently, lest there be in any of you a root of bitterness springing up, and thereby many be defiled. God's informing you and me that this thing will spread like a contagion, and many will be affected with it if we let it out. Isolated. You are commanded in God's word to not let the thing spread. If you let it spread, you violated the direct commandment of God's word. Hold it in reservation between you and the party that you're involved with. But now, most generally, parties that are offended talk to somebody else about their problem before they ever get around to going to the individual that is involved with them. Now, if you've been around since yesterday, I wasn't just born yesterday either. I've been around quite a little while, and I've seen a few things, and you have too. If you've been around since yesterday, you know that this is the common behavior of folks. Now, what they're actually doing when they do that, though they wouldn't own up to it, they're looking for sympathy and they're maneuvering for support. Somebody to back them up in their quarrel with somebody else in the church. Brother George Harmon, Brother Gene's father and Gerald's grandfather, I heard him tell once about a woman that he had some dealings with, and she developed such a bitterness and hatred for another sister in the congregation that she went to another sister, a third party, and actually offered them money to help her hate that individual. That's what he said. People want support. They want condolence in their attitudes and in the way that things are with them. They want sympathy. About the very worst thing that a saint can do is to seek sympathy. That's just a very destructive thing. But that's what people want. And that's what they go for. Now I say from this text that when you even breathe out loud to a third party, before you've gotten to the party direct that's involved, you just even breathe out loud to a third party, you've already thrown God's process clear off course. And it's very seldom, if ever, that the thing works out right in the end. isolated. And this is the way things many times work out in a situation like that. You go telling about among your buddies and your friends what so-and-so did to you, and they, for your sake, out of sympathy with you, they're going to be affected by that. Well, it may be that on down the line, you and the party you're involved with will get that thing worked out, and you'll be reconciled. But those folks that you went to and talked with in order to get their sympathy and support, they may be affected in such a way and receive such feelings and attitudes that they'll never recover from and just go on and be lost over that situation. Just because you peddle your complaint to them. Now that could easily happen, and no doubt it has happened in many cases. And it'll happen in many more because people are just going to behave that way. Now he said, go to him and tell him his fault. That's God's command. Tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hear you, you've gained your brother. That's important. That's why you went. If you went for any other cause, you did more damage than good. You went to gain your brother. If you went and discussed your complaint with him, just with the idea in mind, that brother owes me something. He owes me an apology, and he owes me asking of forgiveness for this thing he did to me, and I'm going over there and see if I can't get it out of him. If you go like that, you'd have been better off home in bed all day, and him too. He'd have been better off. Those things just agitate matters. Folks, you and I are very much, according to God's word, we're very much our brother's keeper. And we have a first-hand responsibility in endeavoring to keep our brother safe. Keep him encouraged. The Bible said, Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Cain asked the question way back there, and God's been answering it ever since in the instructions of his word, the attitudes that we should have one toward another. Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? And God's answer to it down through the thousands of years is yes, you're your brother's keeper to a very great extent. Then if my brother trespasses against me and I'm his keeper, I'm to try to recover him. That's why I go to him. Not just to salve myself up. Not just to get some satisfaction somewhere or other in my own mind because he apologized to me. And sometimes people go around kind of bragging about that. Well, he apologized to me. A little pride in that a lot of times. That isn't why we go at all. That isn't why Jesus said for us to go. But Jesus said for us to go to gain him. Endeavor to gain him. If you're going to someone that has hurt you, The thing for you to do first of all is pray till you got the victory over your hurts. You're healed of it. Don't take that hurt over there with you to deal with that brother. Pray out from under it. When God's word said, if any are afflicted, let him pray. Among other things, he was including things of this nature. Pray if you're afflicted or hurt or wounded or bruised or whatever. Pray. Then if you're merry, sing psalms. Pray till you pray out from under that thing and can sing. Till you got the victory over it. You're not ready to go to that brother until you've got the victory over your hurt. And if you go over there with your feelings hurt, things are going to backfire. And they'll get agitated before you talk very long. That's not the way to do it. Pray till you've got the victory. You can go over there and talk with him about the matter, and regardless of how he reacts or responds to it, or what he says to you, or how he treats you, if he spits in your face, you can come away with the victory. You got that kind of victory. Then you're not ready to go yet. When you get the victory over your hurt, you're still not ready to go. There must be a groundwork laid for these things if they're going to work effectually. And I believe and preach and teach, and you've heard me say it many times, God's word will work if we'll work it. And this will work if we'll work it. But now, the next thing to do after you get the victory in your own soul and victory over your hurts, heal your wounds, is pray on till God gives you a real, deep, genuine, sincere burden for that man's soul you're going over to talk to. You're going to gain him. That's the only reason you've got to go to gain is to gain him. You're not going over to just lick your wounds and salve yourself over some. But you're going over to gain him. And if you're not going to gain him, stay home. Just don't go over there. But you're not ready to go until you've got a real, deep, genuine, earnest burden in your soul for that man. To recover him. God's word said, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Folks, we want to see to it that we're spiritual before we go to trying to restore somebody. You better be genuinely spiritual before you go to trying to restore the man that's hurt you, or things are likely to get agitated over there. But if you get a real deep, earnest desire in your soul for that man to help him. Now that man needs help. If he did you all this wrong, seldom has it ever turned out that way. Most of the time people that's hurt, things get all out of proportion to them. Get all exaggerated. And they can't act balanced till they get healed of the hurt. But now if he's done this wrong, or all as much wrong as you think he did, he's not just in trouble with you, he's in trouble with God too. You want to remember that. And you want to go over there to try to help him to get reconciled to God over that wrong he did. not just reconciled to you. That might be a more simple matter. But you want to help him to get reconciled to God and get that matter straightened out with you and God to where there's mutual reconciliation and fellowship all the way around. If you don't have that attitude toward him, stay home. Leave him alone. He's better off without you, and you'll be better off than going over and dabbling with that when you're going hurt. And all you want is for him to apologize to you. Both of you better off if you stay home in bed. Now he said, if he refuse or neglect to hear you, what do next? Says, take one or two more. We're still trying to isolate it all we can. Not let it spread. Isolate it. One or two. It's a general practice among the saints. They get this text kind of hung up with another one down the line here toward the close of this passage I read, where two or three are gathered together, and they add the two or three on here. Take two or three with you, but Jesus didn't say that. He said take one or two. Just limit it all you can. Hold it in reserve all you possibly can. One or two more. That in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. Now that's God's order. If you receive accusation against a brother or sister in the church without two or three witnesses, you're to blame for that. You're out of order. God's word said, in the mouth of one witness shall no one be put to death, but in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And Jesus told the Pharisees in his day, he said, it is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true, not one. Jesus himself said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now, he didn't mean he was just telling them something and that it might be a falsehood, or it could be false, or it could be true, or whatever. Everything he said was true, but what he was telling them, if I don't have any backup for my witness, you don't have to accept it. They wasn't required to accept it. But he went ahead and told them the support that he had for his witness. His father bore witness of him, and his works bore witness of him, and he had several witnesses supporting his own witness. But he said, it isn't true. In other words, you don't have to accept my witness if it's just my witness alone. I don't have any support for it. Now he said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. But we're still trying to gain this brother. That's why we go back to him again. Go back to gain him. But you're taking one or two, not two or three. Don't ever add that third one. Limit it all you possibly can. One or two more. And in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. We're still trying to gain him. But who am I going to take now? I'm going to take one or two more. But who am I going to take? Oh, I'm going to get some of my buddies. They don't like that fella much anyway. They don't think too much of him, and they'll go over there with me and help put that fella in his place. That's what I'm going to do. People will back me up. Oh, you better not go. You see, if that man wouldn't hear you to start with, It's almost certain he's not going to hear your buddies that's teamed up with you when you take them over there. The thing for you to do when it comes to that step is to get the most spiritual, the most well-balanced men that you know. Take men that that party that you're going to gain holds in high esteem. He has great respect for them. He's not going to respect and hold in high esteem your buddies if he doesn't hold you in high esteem. But you want to get somebody that'll help you gain him. Get somebody he believes in. Somebody that he esteems highly and has great respect for, and take that party or two like that along. And the most spiritual, most well-balanced men that you know in their judgment. We've come to about the time to break here. But I consider this, there's some more to this, we'll go further with it at a future date. But I consider this real, sound, solid, vital instructions to the saints. Something that we need to get a hold of and need to follow out. This is instruction and commandments from God's Word that are not arbitrary at all. We don't handle these kind of things on an arbitrary basis. But there are guidelines laid down here that are not arbitrary, but they're commanded. And we are not to overlook them lightly or pass them up in any sense. I say again, God's Word will work if we'll work it. And if we'll carry things through according to God's instructions, He'll back it up. And that's what He told us in the last two verses of this passage that I read. Pray the Lord will bless us all and help us to behave ourselves like saints, or to behave ourselves. Amen.